back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. Quick program note before we get to our next guest. You'll want to tune in. State Representative Shane Stringer will join us on Monday. And Dale Jackson, Yellowhammer News, WVNN, probably on the road on Monday, but we'll make the best of it if we can. Joining us now, you may have, if you live in the in his state senate district, you probably got a text at some point telling you that he is the root of all evil, that he just generally is terrible. But I would beg to differ with that. But State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, joins us on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. Glad to be out of Montgomery and back in South Baldwin County looking out over the bay this morning.
I hear you. I hear you. Not a bad place to be. Well, we'll get to the hot button of the day here in a moment. But otherwise, session almost over. Our, you know, I guess you got to be glad it's almost over, but you also got to feel okay about the accomplishments this year.
Well, I think overall it's been a good session. I mean, there have been, you know, meaningful conservative accomplishments that members can point back to, some of which we should have passed in previous years, but that we have finally gotten to that I'm pretty pleased with. There's been good work on the budgets that are still strong and conservative budgeting by our budget chairs. You know, there has been a lot of good work that's been done. Unfortunately, a lot of it gets overshadowed, you know, by some of the more hot button issues. But you know, at the end of the day, I think you want your legislators, you know, with their head down, focusing on making government more efficient and more conservative, and staying the heck out of your way so you can live your life or do your business. And so that's what we try to focus on doing.
Well, let's talk about what happened earlier this week. So, to surprise a lot of us who are watch this real close, conference committee comes out with a report. They have reached a grand compromise. You better be ready at 3 p.m. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. And before we even know how fantastic and great it is, it's passed the House of Representatives, and it's upstairs in the Senate to be considered. And I'm just thinking, well, this seems like a done deal. I mean, it overwhelmingly passed the House. Surely there'll be the votes of the Senate to get there. And you know, we're kind of counting votes. I was hearing 23, at least 22. We're finally going to get the breakthrough on a lottery in Alabama that we've all been waiting for, so we were told. But anyway, then something happened. And this is parliamentary procedure. You vote on the conference report, up or down vote. It passes, but it's not quite enough for a constitutional amendment. Tabled, carried over, and here we are, two votes people, I think a lot of people didn't see coming, that went from yes to no, you and Senator Bell. But you had your reasons. You've been consistent on this. I will say this, that you said that if you change anything, you just don't see how it gets done. But here we are on Friday, and it's got a little chippy out there, hasn't it?
Well, it has, and you know, it's funny. You see all these text messages and all this big push, you know, these graphics and everything that's involved in this, and you know, complaining about the special interests, and I have to chuckle at that, because it's the special interests that are putting all of that mess out, right? It's not some, you know, teacher or mama wanting, you know, more education dollars. It's somebody who's going to make money off of it and get rich off of it and get rich off of you on it. And so, you know, all that messaging you're seeing is all the special interest garbage that just accompanies this issue. And it's very frustrating. I mean, Jeff, I have been consistent on this. I voted for a lottery three times now, in my 6 years in the Alabama legislature. I've been supportive of that from the beginning. I did say, I think on your show pretty directly, you know, look, the compromise that it took to get on this bill on the Senate calendar and get it passed in the Senate really had already taken place. And so Senator Bell and myself and a number of others stretched a little further than we wanted to go, a lot further than we wanted to go as it related to the existing, you know, tracks and bingo halls and everything around the state. And the message was pretty clear. I think if you go further than that, then it will very much put the legislation in jeopardy. And what did they do? They went further than that. right? With this widespread electronic casinos that are, you know, that would be all over the state. And then on the spending side of things, you know, not earmarking that money for specific things that we might could see one day, like roads and bridges, where we could actually point to some public good that came out of this. But rather just general spending, more general spending on general government stuff, including an enumerated Democrat wish list in the enabling legislation that said we will spend money on these things. I mean, on line 2,642 of the legislation, it says, you know, an appropriation bill for non-education purposes only, including, which means you will spend the money on these things. And then it goes down through, you know, mental health care and Medicaid expansion and public transit and stuff like that. I mean, why in the world would they think that was going to be something that Senate Republicans were going to go for? I just don't know. And that's why I think you saw a majority of the Senate Republican caucus vote against this legislation.
Well, and you know, people will just give us the right to vote. Well, it's not that easy. You're not voting on a lottery. You're not just voting on that. You're not voting on a lottery at all. You're changing the Alabama Constitution, and it's supposed to be hard, right? It's supposed to be difficult to change the documentation that this whole state's, you know, government's based on. So I think that's like part of the misinformation here that, we want the right to vote on the lottery, but well, you're not voting on the lottery. And if you were, you'd be also voting on all these other types of gambling as well.
Well, you're exactly right. And that's been the hang up from the very beginning. The special interests get involved in this and muck up what is just, you know, a vote on a lottery. And unfortunately, whether that's, you know, the Democrats fighting to get the money they want for their Democrat wish list, or if it is, you know, PCI on one side and the dog tracks and the bingo halls on the other side, you know, get involved in what is a pretty pure conversation about the lottery. And, you know, my commitment has been and continues to be to get the people, you know, the cleanest bill that we can without all this stuff on it. And so what I've had to do and continue to have to do is evaluate, is the good that is in this legislation? And I will tell you, there is good in the legislation that gets rid of a lot of the illegal gambling that's out there right now, puts some tight controls on that. That's good stuff. But is the good outweighed by the bad stuff that is in there, the little things that are buried in there and hung in there by the special interest groups? And I felt like the Senate had done the best job balancing that when we sent that bill back down to the House when it came out of conference. You did that analysis again, and in my estimation, there was more bad stuff in it than good stuff. And I had pretty much warned folks that if that's where they went, then I wasn't going to be able to go along with them, and here we are.
Well, let's talk about where we are right now. Is it even feasible that you would flip your vote? Because I hear the pressure tactics. We see them. We see these goofy people, the misspelled text that are getting sent out. I mean, come on, guys, do better, man. Run a spell check, man. That's going on. Governor Ivey talking about threats of vetoing bills if you don't go along with it. Is any of that going to work to get you to flip your vote?
No, it's not. And you know, my job is to analyze these hundreds of pieces of legislation and make my best judgment and be accountable for that. Okay. I mean, that's the job. And every 4 years there's an election. And I guess at the end of the day, I would submit, and I've gotten all these text messages, you know, I'm not voting for you again because of this vote or whatever. I would just submit to you that if you're going to or not going to vote on an individual, you know, for or against an individual based on their position on a complicated piece of comprehensive gambling legislation and not look at the totality of work on education funding projects, making sure that, you know, we don't have our kids being indoctrinated by the radical left. You know, if you're not going to look at the totality
on whether or not they pass the comprehensive, expansive gambling bill, then maybe there's a gambling problem there. You might want to think about it. That's not the very definition of a problem.
No, and
those types of texts, those types of messages to me only really kind of underscore the importance to me of making sure that we get this right and that what we put on the ballot is something that can be positive for Alabama and is not going to hurt the state of Alabama.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program, who is, got a Bluetooth issue there or something going. But essentially, let me catch you up, guys, about these text messages. And this is me speaking, not Senator Elliott, but these guys who print these lottery tickets are going to make a bunch of money off of the state of Alabama if we get a lottery. So they have hired consultants and lobbyists, and they are working. And that's what this is. These people do not care about your schools or whatever it is that the they don't even care that you have the right to vote on gambling. They are in it for that reason. And that's what you need to understand here. This is what's going on. This is what's being planted. This is an outside group meddling in the process. But you heard that from me. Senator, another thing going on here, and I'm just getting blown up about, and I haven't honestly kept up with it, but I know you and Representative Hulk Jones had an event down there. This annexation war with Gulf Shores and Fort Morgan and what it's going to have to take an act of the state. Give us an update on what's going on there.
Yeah, this is a small local annexation issue of about, I think it started off about 16 parcels. It's down to about 14 parcels now and only 8 property owners. So very, very small annexation issue. Which frankly should have been something fairly simple to deal with and turned into quite the controversy. You're correct. Representative Hulk Jones and I went down to Fort Morgan at the Shellbank Baptist Church and had quite a lively 2.5-hour meeting last Friday a week ago. Look, I think that there is, despite the attempts to try to find a middle ground here and something that both sides could live with, I don't see that legislation moving forward in the Senate. I know the House has passed it, but I don't see folks willing to move that legislation, and I just don't think it will that it will pass this session.
Will it be tried again? I mean, as long as I've been alive, it seems like this has been sort of an outstanding issue.
Yeah, a couple of decades ago, the city of Gulf Shores mistakenly, in my opinion, tried to annex, well, they did annex the entirety of Fort Morgan Road in an attempt to try to get just the roadway, right, so that they could see if they could get more Fort Morgan in the city. And that was declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, and it just rubbed the folks on Fort Morgan the wrong way. And I understand that. As you know well, I'm a very big proponent of private property rights, staunch proponent of private property rights, and people saw that as an invasion. I live in an unincorporated part of Baldwin County, and I'm glad to do so. Nothing against my municipal friends, but that's just how I am. And I think those folks down there feel the same way. They're very nervous about encroachment from Gulf Shores. Conversely, I do think that folks that wanted to annex in, each one of them had requested to annex into the city. So there's a private property rights argument on the other side there. You know, should the will of the masses keep those 8 folks from annexing into the city? And so we were having a very principled debate about that. But politically, at this point, I think there's just simply too much controversy on the issue for it to move forward now. And I will leave it up to my colleague, Representative Hope Jones, who sponsored that legislation, to decide whether she would like to move forward with it or not in subsequent sessions.
Senator, the other thing, now that we've had some time for it to sort of marinate, I had Mayor Kennan on, talk about it yesterday, the bridge and the traffic flow situation. He did not seem as concerned about it. I assume Mayor Kraft at Gulf Shores is very concerned. But now that we've had some time and that's passed, what do you think? Is that still pretty much where this is headed?
I think that is Albot's intention, is to make the new bridge that Director Cooper and Governor Ivey are building right now be a southbound only lane, if you will, bridge. and then to redo Canal Road going back to the east to accommodate that traffic, and then to make the existing toll bridge, soon to be toll-free bridge, make that the northbound lane. Director Cooper and Aldott seem to think that is a much better way to efficiently move traffic. My frustration is that that's not something that was really discussed with the mayors in Orange Beach and Gulf Shores ahead of time, and that's not or the county commission. And all of those things should have been ironed out, laid out, at least, you know, heard the grievances on both sides and what that's going to do to local traffic. And while it may be a more efficient way to move the hordes of folks that are coming in and out of here, we still have people that live here and work here and go to school here every day. And you have to take that into account as well. And so, you know, this project, this entire concept has been around long enough. You know, I think Aldott should have done a much better job in incorporating the needs of locals as opposed to just how do we get these tourists in and out here.
Well, it's kind of crazy what's going on here, because what if we had known, what if during the planning stages that we had known that this was going to, how this was going to go, but you still can't help but wonder and sit here today that John Cooper and this administration built that bridge to run the toll company out and get it at a discount price or whatever it is. And the net effect is, well, now we have this bridge that was used as leverage, but we got it. And now you have this other bridge. It's going to be toll-free, thankfully, for a lot of people are going to be able to go across without having to pay. But, man, if we had known what we know now, how this was going to end up, how different might have the plans been with whatever we had built across the canal there been?
Oh, you look back over the last 10-plus years of this, and it is quite the drama. And you do have to wonder, you know, would Mayor Kraft has been as supportive of the new bridge as he was if he had known it was going to be southbound only? And I think the answer to that is, of course, no. So, you know, was the state honest in their dealings with locals? You know, you got to wonder about that. Was the Abbott administration honest with them? Was the Abbott administration honest with them when they you know, got the county commission to relinquish right of way to the new bridge? Did the county commission know that this was going to be a southbound only thing? Or was this decision made at the very end because and only because they couldn't have made it before and still gotten local support? So I think this drama is something that will be interesting later on to look at. I can't underscore enough, though. I'm happy to have the project. I'm happy to have the infrastructure spending in my district, but it is there certainly could have been other ways to handle it.
Senator, we always appreciate your time. One more week, we're at the Amen Corner here, so get some rest and hold tough there in Montgomery.
Well, we're going to do it. I appreciate you having me on and the opportunity to kind of explain to folks why we voted the way we did.
All right. State Senator Chris Elliott there. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Oh, so right.